Galatians says that we are to live by the Spirit and not gratify the desires of the flesh. What are these desires of the flesh? Well, they're listed for us, beginning at verse 19. The act of sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. In other words, there's a lot more that could be added to this list. We desire a lot of things. Not all those desires are necessarily sinful. So, for example, I desire to be a good godly professor, husband, and that's a good godly thing. God speaks about the importance of doing that. It is His will. So to desire that is not sinful. I desire to be a good, upstanding Christian and to give God glory and do what He says I should do being a Christian. That desire is not sinful. It matches God's will and His word and what He asks us to do. Now, I also desire other things. I desire that my taxes be low. I desire that when I go to the gas pump, that it doesn't cost me as much money as it's currently costing me. Now, whether or not that's sinful or not, I mean, God doesn't say anywhere in Scripture that we should desire our taxes to be low or desire that we don't pay so much money at the gas pump. But I have other desires. For example, I desire a 70-inch LED HD smart Roku TV. I prayed about it. I said, "Dear God, will you give me one of these for my birthday? Amen." It didn't happen. My birthday was September 8th. No TV showed up. So is that a sinful desire to want something like that? Well, maybe it depends. See, some desires are not necessarily sinful, but they are if they go against God's word and go against His desire for us. The other problem is this, is when desires turn into a demand. And we begin to demand that certain things happen so that we can get this thing, whatever it is. When we desire something so much that we're willing to sin to satisfy that desire, that's when it becomes a problem, especially when that desire turns into a demand that I have to have this. I must have this. Now, when we get into that kind of a category where desires turn into a demand, I call this the double O effect. James Bond had a license to kill. In order to be able to accomplish the objective that was put before him, he could use lethal force to get what he desired and what he wanted. And the problem is sometimes we do the same thing. We desire something, it turns into a demand, and now we act as if we have a license to kill, and we can destroy and kill and eliminate, do all these things in order to get the thing in which we want. So when the desires of the flesh turn into demands, we act as if we have a license to kill, destroying everything that gets in our way. So let me give you an example of this. My son, who is 17 years old, went to the refrigerator, got himself a peach, cut it open, and he has this really big knife. It's not just a kitchen knife or a pocket knife. It's a really good-sized knife. And he's holding the peach in his hand, and he takes the knife, and he thought it would be fun to poke the seed that's in the peach and see how hard he can poke that seed. And on one occasion, as he went back with the knife and he went for the seed, he missed the seed, missed the peach, and he ended up having the knife go through one of his fingers. Mom took him to the emergency room, of course, I wasn't available. Got him all patched up. He's all good to go. So I got in the mail the bill for the ER visit. And after insurance paid their part, we still owe over $1,000 for this ER visit. So I took a picture of the bill and I texted it to him. And then I sent a text message and said, Andrew, I think it would have been cheaper just to cut the finger off. $1,000. So I went on Best Buy, Target, all these places where you can look at these TVs. And do you know what kind of a TV I could buy for $1,000? All right, I found this 70-inch UHD LED curved smart Roku TV. I have no idea what UHD is, but it sounds pretty cool. And the fact that you could get a TV that's curved, I'm gonna have to go and see these TVs. I didn't know there was such a thing. I could get a lot of stuff, features in my TV that I want, you see. Now, if I just desire it, that's one thing. But when I desire it and now I start demanding it, and if I start acting as if I have a license to kill, well, that becomes something else. So I told Andrew, I said, you know, if you ever do something this stupid again, I'm not going to take you to the emergency room because I could use that money to get my TV. And can you see it now? He shows up at school. He has a missing finger. And his friend says, Andrew, what's going on? You're missing a finger. And he responds to him, says, well, it's kind of a long story, but my dad needed a TV more than I needed a finger. You see, that's when we start acting as if we have a license to kill and we don't take into consideration the interest of other people. All we care about is ourselves, and we are willing to destroy and kill and eliminate people if they get in our way of getting the thing in which we want so badly. And by doing this, we put ourselves in the place of God. And we expect people to bow down to us, to worship us, and to do what we want them to do. And if they don't, we'll punish them. We'll threaten them, like I did my son, right? Because our desires and our wants and our demands are very different many times from other people who are around us. And anytime we put ourselves in the place of God, that is a dangerous thing. And yet that's kind of the progression, how it works. It goes from desiring to demanding to acting as if we have a license to kill so that we can be like God. Paul Tripp says this, I'm no longer comforted by God's desire for me. I am threatened by it because God's will potentially stands in the way of my demand. When our desires turn into demands and we act as if we have put ourselves in the place of God, that is a huge problem. Standing before evil itself, James Bond said this, history isn't kind to men who play God. Well, then we get to verse 22. And verse 22 in the text is a hinge. You see, we can choose to live according to our flesh and the desires of the flesh. But there's another option. We can choose to live according to the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. And so here in verse 22, it's laid out what that looks like. Now, I think a lot of people who put themselves in the place of God, act like they have a license to kill and destroy so they can get their desires and their demands met, think that that's going to bring them peace and joy and all these wonderful good things. And usually what they find out, it just ends up destroying them and everyone around them. But here in verse 22, if we follow the way of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. So we live by the Spirit. See, we can put aside all those things of our sinful fleshy desires that really isn't going to bring us much joy or comfort in the way that we think it's going to. And instead, we can follow the Holy Spirit that does bring us all these fruits that are listed here. You see, when we are in Christ, we can put aside our fleshy, sinful desires and demands of the flesh. When we are in Christ, we don't go around acting as if we have a license to kill and destroying and eliminating all these things that get in our way of getting the thing that we want. When we are in Christ, we know that we are not God. When we are in Christ, we know that God's desire for us is redemption, justification, sanctification. The devil has been destroyed. Sin has been paid for. We no longer live our lives according to the sinful flesh, but instead, we live our lives according to the Spirit of God, who brings us life in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.